Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Monday edition of the Hoosier Report, and you know what we're going to start the show with today. Indiana loses Friday at home to Michigan, and I wish I could tell you something good. I wish I could tell you it was a win for IU that they battled and maybe lost in a close game, but it was really neither of those. Indiana never was in the game. I was at a high school game on Friday night keeping tabs on things from a distance, and I knew they were in deep doo-doo, and they got down 12-0 to Michigan at home, even a very good team. Hard to come back against someone like them and score a number of points. And things would get worse from that point. And there was, I guess, a bright spot maybe early in the second half. Rob Phinisee hit a three. Indiana cut the lead to, I think it was 9. And then what happened right after that? Michigan went on to score 10 straight points and bumped their lead out, I think, to 16 points or 19 points or something like that. And that was basically the end of the day for Indiana. But the problems continue. And now we'll see what happens, because Tuesday night, a game at Rutgers is a winnable game still for this team, even playing bad basketball, but it's also a must-win game. I don't think that there's any way you can get around that. If this team is going to make the NCAA tournament, they've got to start winning some games. Probably down the stretch, they're going to have to maybe make up some games. When I say make up, maybe beat a couple people that right now they're not favored to beat. And there's a number of teams, if you look at things in the Big Ten right now, they are not favored to beat. But the good news from the Big Ten Conference perspective is the conference is crazy. I'm going to go through the weekend scoreboard here in just a second, not because I don't think you know who won already or you want to hear scores, but just some of the results, absolutely mind-blowing. It's hard to get a grasp exactly on where we're at. I mean, Michigan State loses. Michigan has lost and played close, very close recently. Then they came back and blew out Indiana. So even the leaders of the Big Ten have taken some lumps here lately, or maybe aren't playing as well as what they have lately. So interesting times in the Big Ten. Once you get past Michigan and Michigan State, man, it's really hard to even project what could happen. There are so many upsets and teams playing well, and teams that were playing well a month ago are losing some games. Teams that were ranked have lost. A couple ranked teams in the Big Ten lost this weekend. So a lot of movement right now in the conference, and Indiana needs to get part of that movement going upwards with a win Tuesday night at Rutgers. A lot on the line in that game. Rutgers is... they won over the weekend against Penn State, and that's not some notable win or anything like that, but they're doing okay. They're not the bottom feeder of the Big Ten Conference that they have been. They're not even, I don't think it's bad this year as what people expected them to be. It's not even a for sure win, even if you've got Rutgers at home or on the road, definitely. So Indiana with another big week. I said this to start things last Monday. You know, we could be sitting in a completely different position from what we were a week ago, had Indiana went to Northwestern and won, and had Indiana hosted Michigan on Friday night, even if they had gotten beat, if they just had competed, if they just had been close, if they just had had an opportunity down the stretch, you could feel a lot better about this team heading into this week with a game at Rutgers and obviously some games beyond that as well. But unfortunately, they go on the road Tuesday last week. They lose at Northwestern. They play Michigan at home and get down early, almost a repeat of the first time Indiana played Michigan at Ann Arbor. And we're sitting basically in the same spot we were last Monday, probably worse off because there are now two more losses on the schedule and no real glimmer of hope that things with this team are getting better. So I'd love to know what's going on. I think it's got to be more than just what's on the court. That's my opinion. I don't know details. I have no insight. I'm not in Bloomington much. I don't know. I can't answer that. I get asked that question all the time. But the things aren't clicking. There's no question about it. And I guess if you want to look for another bright spot with this team, Archie Miller in the post-game press conference, and I know there's a lot of people that are just completely disappointed in him, and I'm not quite sure that it's his fault, but a lot of people definitely sharing their frustrations about him. But to his credit, and if I had a knock on Archie Miller, and it would be this: he doesn't really tell you much when things are going bad. Not that he has to dissect his team for the media in the post-game press conferences, but he just kind of answers the questions as blandly as possible. No real fire to his answers. I'm going to get this over as quick as possible, and I understand that. When you get beat, when you're in a bad rut, you don't want to deal with media and questions, but it's kind of been excuses, not a lot of detail. That changed after the Michigan game. He came in fired up. He called this team soft. He took full credit, or not credit, I should say full responsibility for the team's lack of performance and effort and things recently, and really, I thought, gave some time to the answers. Not that he has to do that, but sometime you're best just to be a little bit more upfront. I don't know what exact word I'm trying to use here, but instead of just getting through as quick as you can and getting out of there, give some detail, make the fans and others understand that you're as frustrated, and heck, a lot more frustrated than they are as the head coach of the team. And I thought he handled that press conference about as good as he could, coming in just being very direct. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. He actually got to the point of some of the questions. So maybe that's a bright spot. He's had his breaking point with this team, as I think a lot of fans and a lot of people are. So we'll talk about all this and more today. Man, it's a tough time for this team. I really did not think that we would be having stretches like this and talking about some of the things that we're talking about on this program this season. I really felt like this team would not be great, would not be Final Four, Sweet 16 material, but I thought they would always be, and they still, from a distance, are in the conversation for the NCAA tournament. I guess I thought there would never be a point of the season where we're like, I don't know if this team's going to get in or not. There's a lot that can happen here, and there's still a great chance for them to get in, I think, if they win games, which is yet to be seen. But I didn't think we'd be at this point. I really didn't. So, again, you understand as you get into things a little bit better that Indiana has two scorers, two players that really are able to score the basketball on a somewhat fairly consistent basis in the Big Ten Conference, and that's Juwan Morgan and obviously Romeo Langford. That third scorer still has not become consistent, or still has not become one or two certain people that you can point on beyond Romeo and Juwan in these games. And of course, the problems through this stretch continue to rack up. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining me in this show today, first we'll have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day in segment one, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Segment two, it'll be Zach Osterman, the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star. He is always with us on Mondays, and we'll be breaking down that IU bad performance once again to Michigan, and we'll go ahead and look at Rutgers. It's coming up Tuesday night. Indiana's got to hit the road for that game, and of course, it won't get any easier because of this team right now not playing good basketball. We'll talk about that with Zach and more. Later in the program, we'll turn our attention to some local stuff. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member, he will join me. We're going to kind of, as we always do, talk through some of the local things that happened over the weekend. Jeffersonville goes down twice. They lose at Bedford, which anytime somebody loses at Bedford, it doesn't matter who they are, what team they are, what player they have, what their season's been like leading up to that game. It's just a tough place to play, and if you coach or you've been around the game a lot in the area, you know what I mean. It's a tough place to play, no question about it. Jeff loses Friday at Bedford. Not a big surprise, although it does make things a little bit more interesting for the Seymour Sectional, and then they come back and lose to Evansville Harrison on Saturday night. A last-second shot by Harrison lifted them to a one-point victory at William S. Johnson Arena. That was a big surprise, so we'll talk about that some with Chad. Of course, how do you rebound from a bad weekend? Jeff's got all the potential in the world to win a sectional and go beyond that, but they got to put it together to be able to do so. New Albany won three games, all to the West last week. They went to Wrights, Jasper and Evansville North, three road games in a week, and played well, playing some good basketball, making some improvements. Floyd Central with a couple wins this week as well. They had to come from behind Saturday night at Evansville Wrights, but like good teams do, led by some great leadership and Kobe Barnes and others, they were able to come back and get a big win on the road Saturday night themselves. So we'll take a look at the area. Girls sectional start this week. We'll hit that with Chad as well and talk some other local things when he's with us later in the program today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And just to kind of touch back on some things from the Michigan game, the IU offense continues just to be dismal. Scored 46 points. That's what Indiana put on the board. That is the lowest scoring output for the program since back in 2010 when they played against Wisconsin and some of their stifling defense that those Wisconsin teams had back in those seasons. In IU's three of its last four games, they've not reached 55 points, which is just unbelievable. So that kind of summarizes to me the offense and where things are at this point on that side of the ball. Of course, defense is better, but there's still plenty of holes in things that are going on out there. And like we said last week, IU was able to bank on its defense in some of its wins earlier in the season, some of its non-conference wins, even when the offense wasn't rolling exactly how you wanted it to go. And there were plenty of examples of what we're going through now, if you look back in the non-conference season and in the first half of things from December or Christmas, we'll say, moving forward beyond, back to the start of the season. But one thing that Indiana could always rely on, it seemed like, was to have some big defensive possessions, big defensive stops in key moments of games, and they're really not getting that either. In addition to horrific offense lately, that's scoring 44 to 52, 53 points a game, that's a bad combination for this team. So something that we'll talk about today as well. Also, I did find this interesting. Trace Jackson Davis, big recruit, big signee for Indiana in the 2019 class. Romeo was the signature recruit in 2018. And, of course, Trace Jackson Davis is the signature recruit, at least so far, in the 2019 class. Keon Brooks would probably be right up there neck and neck with Trace Jackson Davis if he commits, if he signs with the program. But Trace actually put out a tweet over the weekend that, and I'm going to read it to you word for word here in a second, that, you know, a lot of rumors out there, but he's still committed to Indiana. He said, quote, or he tweeted, quote, "A lot of people have been making up rumors that I am trying to decommit. These are not true." He writes that in capital letters. "I chose this program and will stick with them through good and bad. Hoosier Nation, I am not giving up on you." So Trace Jackson Davis, obviously still in the fold, and he's signed anyways. But when things go bad and you go through rough stretches and there's flack on social media, there's all sorts of rumors and things out there. So Trace steps up and answers the call that he is obviously committed to Indiana for the long haul, for the foreseeable future. And again, when you've signed, it's kind of a done deal unless there's a major change. But Trace Jackson Davis tweeting that out over the weekend. And I want to close this first segment before we get to Zach Osterman with this. Let's just take a look at some Big Ten results over the weekend. And this weekend, specifically Saturday and Sunday, I think kind of tell you how crazy the conference is. First off, Illinois, they win at number 13 ranked Maryland, 78-67. So a 9-point win on the road for Illinois, who is now 2-7 in the Big Ten Conference. Maryland is 7-3 in the conference. Here's another one. Ohio State, they win at Nebraska. Ohio State 3-5 in the Big Ten Conference. Nebraska now 3-6 in the Big Ten Conference. But IU fans know specifically that Nebraska is a good team, and it was a home game for Nebraska. So Ohio State wins that one. I mentioned that Rutgers beat Penn State by 4 points at Penn State. That's no real surprise. Then let's flip to Sunday. A couple games on Sunday. Michigan State, at the top of the Big Ten, had not lost in the Big Ten Conference. Number 6 in the country, Michigan State. they lose to Purdue 73-63, and I didn't get to watch the game, but I believe they were down a lot more than 10 points for portions of that game. So Michigan State takes their first loss in the Big Ten Conference. They're still at the top of the conference. They're still one of the best teams in college basketball, a lot like Michigan is. But both of those teams, Michigan State and Michigan, they've been having some troubles here in conference games recently. Now, you wouldn't know it in Michigan's game Friday against Indiana, but before that they lost. They had a win on a last-second shot, so they've been playing some close games outside of the Indiana victory for Michigan over the weekend. And one other score from Sunday as well. This was at Minnesota. Minnesota 92, number 19 ranked Iowa 87. So, again, all sorts of things happening. Teams playing well that, you know, we didn't expect to play well. Teams playing well that didn't play well earlier in the season when the Big Ten started to kind of surge as a conference to be reckoned with on the college basketball landscape. So some crazy results, and that's what I'm saying. Big Ten games this year have just been nuts. There have been a lot of close games. There have been a lot of upsets. And I think we're at a point right now where outside of Michigan State and Michigan, there are going to be all kind of upsets, I guess, the rest of the way if you look at conference standings, because there's just a lot of parity in this conference for this season. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Again, Zach Osterman is next. We'll talk IU Michigan. I know that it's getting tough to talk about some of these bad performances by Indiana, but we'll get Zach's take on what happened at Assembly Hall on Friday night. And then, of course, we got to look ahead. IU Rutgers, a Wednesday night game for Indiana on the road. It's a road trip. The weather's going to be brutally cold this week. Nothing easy about these road games in the Big Ten Conference, and we'll talk about that matchup that's ahead later in the week as well. Stay with us. It's a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday show. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He's the IU insider for the Star, and he's with us Mondays here on the Hoosier Report. And as it's worked out, the last couple Mondays, we've been able with Zach to dissect what's went wrong for this Indiana team and some of their recent games as they are now in the midst of a six-game slide. And I tell you, Zach, I did not get a chance, at least live, to watch the game on Friday. I was at a high school basketball game, but kind of keeping an eye on the score from a distance. And when I heard 12-0, and I think it got worse from there, I knew that Indiana was going to have another performance exactly what it's been like recently, where they get off to a bad start. And when you get behind and you're not playing good basketball against a really good team, it's hard to make any mountable comeback.
Yeah, and I think especially when you are a team that is already offensively limited the way Indiana is, you know, this is an Indiana team that increasingly just cannot get anything going from behind the three-point line, which means it cannot sort of entice defenses to come out and defend in any kind of extended way on most of its players, which means the lane is clogged, which means it's harder and harder for Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford to really do what they do best. And I guess in theory there was a stretch there for probably about 20 minutes before it felt like Indiana just kind of ran out of juice, where they were playing Michigan on the plus side. They even cut that, you know, it started at 17-0. It got to 20-2 before Indiana made its first field goal. And then Indiana on the other side of halftime cut it down to a nine point deficit. But there was never really a point where you felt like there was an obvious route for Indiana to get back into that game. And I think what you're seeing now is just a team that, I'm sure some of it's physical, I'm sure some of it's mental. You know, you'd have to imagine confidence has been knocked. You also would have to imagine that something that we were even talking about when things were going well for Indiana, the amount of minutes that some guys were having to play in November and December, and the feeling that Indiana was really having to exert itself with some of its depth issues early in the season, you would imagine that the physical side of things is becoming a problem as well. But one way or the other, this is a team with clearly a lot more questions than answers at this point. And you just sort of wonder at what point they lose the ability to start answering those questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is our guest. You kind of described the look of this team right now, and I think most people can see that or at least agree with that rundown of things. It's hard to take a stab, like, you know, if Indiana's winning games like they were earlier in the year, and then they slip up and have a bad performance, get off to a bad start, you know, defensive rotations aren't good, whatever the case is, and they get beat, it's always interesting to come back the next day or two and talk about it and try to think about what happened and what they need to work on and what they probably are working on in practice those days in between time before the next game. But when you're in the middle of a six-game slide and you see some of the same things over and over and over again, and you see defense that used to kind of be the foundation, I thought, of this team, or at least was becoming the foundation of the team, not be what it was in some of the big games they played earlier this year and in some of the big moments too, like key stops down the stretch when they maybe got behind or needed a basket or whatever the case is. I don't see that. And then, of course, it's clear that the offense is puttering at best right now. So it's hard to, like, pick a couple issues to ask your opinion on or get your rundown on, because there right now, to me, are so many.
Yeah, but I mean, I think so many of those are linked, right? I mean, it you can trace a lot of it back to some of the same core causes. I mean, first is, and I know, listen, I know in the moment fans can get frustrated and they can see a lackluster performance and they don't want to hear about injuries. They don't want to hear about depth. They don't want to hear about youth. They see those as just sort of excusing the broader sort of frailties or failings of the team. It was interesting. National radio was in town for the game Friday night. And so a few of us got moved off of what they call Fisher Row at Assembly Hall, that sort of elevated press row behind the scorer's table at center court. And they set up some temporary courtside seating at the south end, literally right next to the Michigan bench. And I don't think I've ever sat that close to the court at a game at Assembly Hall. And I watched Juwan Morgan through parts of that first half, which I don't believe he ever came out of. If he did, it was very brief. And there were a number of moments as the half wore on where there'd be a loose ball or a carom, a rebound, and he would kind of start to go for it. And anybody who's ever played sports in any competitive way will know what I mean when I say this. He would just sort of stop. And he wouldn't stop because he didn't seem to care. He would stop because he would start to go for it and then just kind of realize he didn't have the energy to. He just couldn't get his body to move that quickly. And either A, he realized it just wasn't worth it to try, or B, he literally just didn't have the spark, the jump to go get it. And when you talk about, you're right, there are so many issues facing this team, and this is, you know, if you want to use the term crisis about this season, I think the word crisis should probably be referred to for something other than wins and losses. But this is certainly a season kind of at least in a tailspin right now. I think that's fair. You know, like I said, I don't know where the solutions come from, but you can trace, I think, a lot of the issues back to back to November and December, and a combination of things that Indiana was probably having to be over-reliant on then, like some of its players. You know, you look back at games where Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford play 39, 40 minutes each, where there's four or five players all playing at least 35, 36 minutes. There's very little depth. There's very little ability to rotate. You know, even when Archie Miller, after the Butler game, talked about getting some minutes out of some guys' legs, you still saw Romeo Langford playing 34, 35 minutes in those last two non-conference games in December. You talk about youth. You talk about lack of depth. I think about Juwan Morgan a lot defensively now, because he was very much this team's kind of defensive anchor last season. But all of a sudden, Juwan Morgan kind of can't play defense. And what I mean by that is, when you've got Race Thompson, Jerome Hunter, and Deron Davis on the bench, if you're Juwan Morgan, you know you're all your team has inside. And we've seen what happens when Morgan gets into early foul trouble. He knows that he can't afford to do that. So all of a sudden, he's got to play defense without fouling, which means, you know, he's probably going to be looking at it. I can't be overly physical. I can't take any chances. I'm walking on eggshells at this point. And all of a sudden, if the guy that in so many different ways is setting your defense looks and feels like he can't really commit himself fully to the defensive end for fear of hurting his team's chances offensively over the course of 40 minutes, you imagine everything starts to just kind of come apart. And this is kind of, this answer starts to get to be rambling and a little bit kind of meandering. But the problem is that, again, it just feels like every issue we discuss with this team, and there are so many, all kind of trace back to the problems with personnel and depth and injuries that Indiana's not been able to overcome. And in a lot of ways, frankly, has never had the opportunity to overcome this season.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, is our guest, and he's with us every Monday here on the program. What was your – I mean, you're at all the press conferences, before a game, after a game, anytime there's one, Indianapolis Star, Zach Osterman, front and center. And you often ask a lot of the great questions, to be quite honest with you, that get posed to the players or coaches like Archie Miller. That said, what was your take on Archie after the game Friday? I thought he came in a little different than what I normally hear in those post-game press conferences.
You could tell that there was a greater level of frustration after Michigan. And, you know, that's as low as some of the lows have been at different times for this team. I think, you know, starting 17-0 down at home in front of a Friday night crowd with national TV in the house against the top five team, you know, the kind of game that Indiana and Assembly Hall, and not just the team, but the fan base really relishes. To start that way, to have everything kind of go that way, you could tell that this was, you know, it felt a little bit like the way he, in fact, it felt pretty distinctly like the way he talked about the state of things after Indiana State and Fort Wayne last season. And, you know, obviously this is a different situation because of the circumstances around the team, because you're not talking about a mid-major, you know, in-state opponent coming into Assembly Hall. Now you're talking about a top five team in Michigan, or top five, top six. I forget exactly where they were ranked last week, but, you know, really probably the Big Ten front runner at this point. So obviously some of that's going to be different, but I think that there is still, from Archie Miller, just this feeling that the sort of baseline level of toughness and fundamental understanding of how to win the way he wants to win is something that maybe Indiana is further along the line with this season. I don't think there's any denying that. You look at some of the non-conference wins, you look at, you know, some of the individual performances and things like that, but that it's still not there in a way that can kind of transcend individual problems. And that's, you know, I think that's ultimately, that's kind of what coaches want, right? That, like, that's the thing that they strive for the most, is to build a program where the team is always greater than the sum of its parts in a way, and where the sort of, you know, foundational philosophies of the program are so deeply ingrained in the roster that maybe not all the time, every single year forever, but in individual moments, in moments when to lean on a cliche, the going gets tough, those sort of foundational elements come out of that roster and can overcome adversity and can, you know, can sort of dig everyone's collective heels in and push back. And I think that he still just sort of feels, and I don't think, look, Archie Miller is going to be more keenly aware of everything that his team's had to go through this season than anybody else. But I still think that maybe there's this idea in his mind that Indiana isn't as close to, you know, that level of just sort of inherent foundational success as, you know, he probably will have hoped by this point, as probably we all thought was kind of signaled by the November, December that they had. And now, you know, you're kind of seeing a second season consumed by some of those issues.
We're talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, primarily about IU and their performance against Michigan and the struggles that have continued throughout this six-game losing streak for the Hoosiers. Wednesday night, Indiana's going to go to Rutgers, and boy, they've had some interesting scores recently. They've beat a few people that you could call upsets or at least mild upsets. They've had some interesting scores here recently. Your thoughts, early thoughts on that game? I know it's hard to kind of gauge things right now with this team. They're not what they were, and there's a lot of moving pieces and a lot of things that need to be worked on and corrected. So predicting and projecting and looking at opponents, you kind of got to start with yourself right now when it comes to Indiana. But your thoughts on Rutgers and going up there on a Wednesday night?
You know, the biggest win is just the offense-defense breakdown between these teams. You know, this is a Rutgers team that, you know, the numbers have regressed somewhat in league play, but this is a Rutgers team that overall for the season has defended very well. You look at their percentages on threes, their percentages on twos, and I'm talking about defense here. You know, their percentages in terms of opponent offensive rebounding, all those different kinds of things, even free throw rate, and you know I love the advanced stats. They're a good defensive team. You know, maybe they're not an elite defensive team, but they're a good defensive team. On the other hand, they are whatever they are defensively, they are very much the opposite offensively. You know, they are a moribund offensive unit. They're only averaging 0.95 points per possession in conference play. That's 12th in the Big Ten in league games alone. And, you know, you sort of feel like, and I try to avoid these grand statements, but look, this will be the last game Indiana plays in January, a January that obviously has just been brutal. When you looked at Indiana going to Northwestern, you thought, you know, this is the kind of game where Indiana's got to get right at least a little bit. Like this season isn't going to turn around all in one moment at this point. And this was true against Northwestern. This was true against Michigan. It'll be true against Rutgers. This is a season that if it is going to turn around, and it's worth pointing out that a lot of Indiana's good work in the non-conference still stands. Louisville's good. Marquette's good. You know, you're still going to get at least some brownie points for that four-game win streak in December. If this season is going to turn around, it's going to happen. I keep throwing out cliches, but cliches sometimes fit in sports because they work all the time. It's going to happen kind of one brick at a time. And, you know, Northwestern was a real missed opportunity in that regard. And I know people look at it and say, well, Aaron Falzone, where did he come from if he has – even a semi-normal shooting night, Indiana's okay, yes, but Indiana also doesn't really adjust very well to Aaron Falzone when he enters the game and when he starts getting hot. If you're Indiana and you can't win this game, then you're looking at a situation, because I think we can all kind of agree that Indiana has a long, long, long shot at winning against Michigan State over the weekend. If you can't at least win this game, arrest the losing streak and give yourself a platform for those last nine, where you have 6 of 9 at home. You start with Iowa and Ohio State at home. Then you go to Minnesota. Then it's Purdue at home. Then it's Iowa away. And then 3 of your last 4 are at home. If you go into that stretch 3-8 in the Big Ten, you know, it's just awfully hard to figure out where this team even starts to kind of recover its season. And it's worth pointing out Archie Miller at times at Dayton. I think his third year, his Dayton team started 1-5 in the conference and then won 13 of 16 down the stretch. I don't think that this team in this Big Ten is going to be capable of something that drastic, because that was also the team that went to the Elite Eight. But the point is Archie Miller has coached out of early, you know, sort of conference holes before, but 5 games under .500 into February. And when you start to tack some bad losses for the first time onto this IU team's resume, you know, at Northwestern isn't the worst loss in the world, but it's not great. At Rutgers, at least it's not at home, but it's still not a good loss by any means. you start to really feel like this season is just kind of beyond anybody's control. And I think, you know, a win at Rutgers doesn't solve everything. It doesn't come close to solving everything, but maybe, just maybe, at very least, it gives this Indiana team just enough of a platform to be able to say, all right, we'll just sort of, we'll weather whatever it takes in East Lansing, and then we'll come home and we'll get an opportunity to try and be a little bit more ourselves, starting with Iowa on February 7th. And you know, that can be sort of our base camp to trying to launch ourselves back at taking something out of this season. But you are kind of getting to the point where if Indiana doesn't get something as basic as a win at Rutgers, then I think we can talk about a season that's really slipped away.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach Osterman, another great job being with us Monday to start the week off here on the Hoosier Report. Zach, as always, we greatly appreciate your time, and we'll talk with you again next Monday.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach Osterman with us. And, of course, he'll be back next week as we continue our conversation, as you know, daily about this IU basketball team and their struggles this season, at least here over the last six games in the Big Ten Conference. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll switch gears and talk some local stuff here in Southern Indiana. In the next segment, Chad Gilbert, the athletic director at Charlestown High School. He's also an IHSAA executive board member. He'll be with us. Lots of big high school stuff in the books over the weekend. We'll talk about that and catch up on some other things. Stay with us as we close the show with Chad Gilbert as my guest after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board, is my guest. And a lot of things to catch up on coming out of the weekend as normal. And, of course, Chad, something that we don't give a lot of love to or discussion to, but it should be really good this year. We've got some local girls sectionals that kick off this week, and that means that the high school basketball season, as we know it, is moving on very, very quickly when the girls tournament gets here. Your thoughts on that? I think you guys host a sectional. You may host some future rounds in the tournament as well. I know you have in past years, but from a local perspective, some girls teams that I think are trying to put some postseason runs together, and it all starts with the sectional round of play.
It's hard to believe, Matt, that the season's already winded down. It's come down to this. And what makes the tournament so much fun is that all the teams are just basically fighting to advance. The coaches are putting their absolute best out there. The kids are putting their absolute best out there. And it's what you've built up for all year. And it's hard to believe it comes to an end. You know, you talk about the season's going by so fast. Wrestling sectional was this past Saturday. It's just unbelievable how quick things go. But when you talk about our local matchups, New Albany is hosting this year. And you've got to think that tomorrow night's only game at New Albany with Jeffersonville versus Bedford North Lawrence is going to be a battle. Bedford's had their number two times this year, but Jeffersonville's won their last seven. So you want to talk about a great game. That game is going to be just magnificent. And what's the winner of it get? They get North Harrison waiting in the wings. So, you know, the tournament is not fair, but that's how it goes. We are hosting up here at Charlestown. 3A sectional, our sectional, is unbelievable how evenly matched the teams are. The games are going to be great every single night, and it makes it fun. And as a host, what you want to do is you want to have it where the teams – all they have to do is play basketball and coach their team. That's how you make everything run smooth. You have a good hospitality room. Make sure the officials are there on time. Make sure that the guys are out there and the teams are out there ready to play, and everything's going to go good. At Charlestown, we're fortunate enough this year that we are hosting the girls 3A sectional, the girls 3A regional, and the boys 3A sectional. So it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of excitement, and we're looking forward to it.
You got some busy weeks coming up in your role as Charlestown's AD, no question about that. High school basketball over the weekend. I want to touch on that briefly before we get to some other stuff. that season moving along quickly, and we'll be talking about sectional pairings very soon. We'll be talking about the start of sectional play about a month from tomorrow, if mm-hmm. I'm correct. That's hard to believe. Over the weekend, two things stand out to me. Jeffersonville, who, when they've got their top three playing and scoring at the same time, they are really hard to stop, but they go to Bedford and lose, and that can happen. That, you know, we know Bedford's a tough place to play. Then they come back home at Johnson Arena and lose in the final second Saturday night. Really some concerning moments from Jeffersonville here in the middle of the season as you begin that late descent into sectional.
Well, when you're at Jeffersonville, you know, this is one you just put behind you. Put those this weekend behind you, say, all right, what do we have to do to move forward? What do we have to do to get better? Because, you know, you're obviously disappointed that you're playing for an outright Hoosier Hills championship. However, that's not lost. You know, you went out, and you're going to win a Hoosier Hills Conference. So you got to dangle that carrot in front of your players. Coach Luce, he's a veteran coach. He's going to bounce back off this. The Devils will bounce back off of this. But, you know, the Bedford game, that's a hard game to win. I saw somewhere that Jeffersonville has lost maybe 8 out of 9 up there. Does that sound right, Matt? That on the road that they've lost 8 out of 9 up there? There's only one team that has won up there in the last 9 things. Man, I can't remember who that one was. That may have been about 14. But we got fortunate when we went up there and won. And what happens with that is what comes into play is you're not used to. As soon as school ends, you're on the bus. You're grabbing a Subway sandwich, and you're on the bus, and you're going. Whereas in other road games, you got a little bit of time to go home, get something to eat, run, do whatever you need to do. This is bang, bang, bang. And that kind of takes players out of their routine. And I think that's the biggest deal. We have that same deal with Brownstown on a Friday night. And where it's on a Saturday, you can kind of ease into it. You can get your shoot around. You can get your time ready to go where it's just not a rush. And I think that rush has something to do with it because that plays both ways. I'd be curious to know the last time Bedford has won at Jeffersonville. And I think that travel just takes a lot because, as you know, going to Bedford, there's no easy way to get there. You get back on those Uniontown roads and on a bus, it's curvy, swervy, up and down, and it's hard to do. But with Jefferson, all that being said, Jeffersonville put that in it's in the rearview mirror. There's a reason the rearview mirror is small and the reason the windshield's big. You got to look forward. You got to move ahead, put this weekend behind you, and bounce back. And I look forward to see the Red Devils do that.
Hey, speaking of travel, New Albany, who needed some wins, who is prepping to be a threat at sectional this year and challenge Floyd Central and Jeffersonville, who, based on regular season results, and rightfully so with what they've been able to do this season, are probably the favorites on paper in that sectional. But New Albany needing some wins, needing some good play, needing to build some confidence. And when last Saturday's game at Wright's was canceled and it was bumped to Tuesday night, that put the Bulldogs on the road Tuesday at Evansville-Wright's, one of those trips where you got to leave right at the end of the school day. Friday at Evansville North, another trip where you basically leave straight when the school final bell rings. And then Saturday, back down I-64 West to Jasper. Three games, all on the road, all present unique challenges, specifically the Wright's game and the Jasper game. And New Albany comes out of that with flying colors. Other than some scary moments down the stretch in the fourth quarter at Wright's, they played really well and were able to win the games handily, exactly what I'm sure Jim Shannon ordered for this team.
And great weekend for the Bulldogs. And you have a veteran coach again with Jim Shannon who's going to use that to play upon the stretch run here. And that's a hard thing to do. People don't understand how hard it is to make those 2-hour bus trips because it's not a 2-hour bus trip. It's a 4-hour bus trip. It's 2 hours down and 2 hours back. And you're doing that 3 times. An unbelievable week for the Bulldogs. So hats off to the Bulldogs and their staff for the hard work and preparation that goes into that game. But what really jumped out at me for the Bulldogs was holding Jasper to 20 points at Jasper. I mean, that just means that you're playing some lockdown defense, you're taking pride in stops, and you're getting rebounds. That's what advances you in the tournament, and I think that has to make Coach Jim Shannon happy going in the stretch run.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSAA Executive Board Member. He's with us Mondays. We talk local sports on the program. What else stands out to you this time of year? We're kind of in that great spot for college basketball conference play, for some high school games down the stretch. Those pairings, as we've mentioned, will be out soon. And then, of course, the tournaments, both college and high school, will be here before you know it. There's so much good basketball, it's kind of hard to keep up with everything.
you know, March is the best month of the year. It's the quickest month of the year. Once stuff gets going, starting with the boys sectional, it goes, you know, because it goes right into conference championships, into March Madness. Next thing you know, you look at the first week in April. But, you know, talking about catching up on anything, can't help overlook Silver Creek at Bloomington South. Silver Creek played one of their best games of the year, and South still managed to escape them. So it looks like South, I looked at their record, they lost their first two games. I think they've only lost one since. So they're going to be, you know, one of those teams to watch out for come March. And then Silver Creek, you know, we all know about Silver Creek. And I saw a thing on, oh, it may have been Facebook or Twitter this week, that talking about the teams heading in to the Southridge Regional with Silver Creek. And it was like in the Sagarin ratings, it was 2, 3, 5, and 6 that are all dumping into that regional. So you want to talk about an outstanding regional. That's going to be a great regional as well. And then with Silver Creek playing this competition that they've had with their schedule, I think the Dragons are ready to make a nice run.
Mm. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, and IHSA board member, our guest. Chad, as always, thanks for the chat. It's great to have you on Mondays. And, you know, this time of year when we get closer to the tournament, it's a special time. I love talking a little high school ball on this program, and you're a great way to get the week started with that sort of discussion on Mondays.
Man, I appreciate everything you do. Thanks for the run. You get some rest. You've been out working hard this week. I know you're tired. Dig down deep. It's a stretch run, baby.
Absolutely. Good luck with sectional hosting this week and, of course, regionals as well for the girls. You've got a busy couple weeks yourself, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
Appreciate you, Matt. Thank you.
All right. Chad Gilbert, always with us on Mondays here as we have Zach Osterman followed by Chad on our Monday shows. That's going to wrap things up for today. Thanks for being with us. Couple reminders this week. Don't forget Wednesday night, IU at Rutgers. We'll have the play-by-play call with Don Fisher right here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll be previewing that game the next few days here on the show as well, so stay with us. Tuesday, Greg Doyle is with me, the columnist for the Indianapolis Star. Also on Tuesday, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. He'll join the program as well to talk some IU basketball. So lots of stuff coming your way, and we hope that you are able to make it with us every day this week, live at 11 o'clock. The replay is at 3 p.m. if you missed the live show. And then, of course, we're always available on podcast. SoundCloud, that free app, and Apple Podcasts, those are two easy ways to locate the show. We appreciate those of you that do hit us on the podcast that maybe can't catch the live show or the replay, and it's easy to do so. SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report, or you can find us on Apple Podcasts. Just type in the Hoosier Report. And if you would, leave us a rating, hopefully a good rating, and a positive review. It'll help us reach others that might be interested in a show, a radio show, and a podcast about IU basketball and sports here from a Southern Indiana perspective. Have a great week, a great day. It's supposed to get just bitterly cold. I think this evening, wind moving in. I saw some wind gusty, wind advisory or something for today. So be careful out there. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.